resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
Wow, it is great to be back. Thank you so much for joining me. It is Toward Anarchy. I am your host, Michael Storm. It is Sunday. I'm live. It's the 1st of November. And just, you know, thank you so much, as always, for taking some time out to hang out and talk. I know there's an important football game to watch. I know there's so many things going on in the world right now. The important stuff, like the football games. I didn't even realize it's halfway through the season already. It was pretty crazy. I only just was sort of tuned in at all because I don't have any regular TV in my home, not antenna or cable or anything like that. I just have I just pay for a nice high speed internet connection so that I can just watch whatever I want to watch digitally, and so I don't have any of the local programming or even the sort of what used to be normal program. I don't even think it's normal programming anymore. It's still considered to be the mainstream media, except that I don't think that many people listen to them anymore. But I just had set up another room for my wife because of the COVID thing. She ended up having to work from home for part of her employment because of the fact that she's a teacher and Kansas was the first place. You know, I'm here in the not quite the literal geographic center of the contiguous United States, but I'm really, really close. It's not far from me. So I'm really here in the middle of America. And we were the first, I think, across the nation to cancel schools, to end schools, have them go back digitally. And they've worked in over time different ways for them to participate. You know, some have a mixture of online, some go fully online, some go fully to classrooms, and it depends on the grades, it depends on the student, it depends on the parents. All these things are contributing to it. But no matter what, initially, pretty much everybody was online, and all the teachers certainly were, whether they could get all the students online or not. That's one of the reasons they really pushed to get back in, is because they couldn't get all of it, especially in the poorer regions. And my wife works in one of the poorer schools. And so they had to go online. And I had to set her up a space. And one of the things we had to do was put up, you know, a couple of monitors. You have to have some monitors. When you're doing this stuff, you need to be able to see some different information. You need to have a couple of them. So she has her laptop, and then we have a bigger monitor. But then it's also a TV, and so we plugged in the rabbit ears to it. Not the old school kind, but still the digital HD ones now that you have to plug in. But we plugged them in, and we just had this has been going on for a little while now, and so we've had some local television and some local input. Like I caught Seth Meyers the other day, and if I hadn't seen him on TV, you'd have been hard pressed to get me to remember who he was. No offense to him, just I don't watch that stuff, and I didn't even necessarily watch his era of Saturday Night Live. He was a Saturday Night Live regular, but he was on. He does a late night show, I guess after Jimmy Fallon's show. And I was surprised because here we are, I don't know how many months we are down the road into this COVID thing. And some of these guys, some of these shows, some of these producers, some of the talent across the board, particularly in that live segment that hosted shows like that, late night, and anything that was big on the audience, where you get a lot of audience play. And a lot of these guys, I was surprised to see that Seth Meyers, they're people, him, whoever is really in charge of the throwing the switches over there. Wow, they haven't figured it out yet. And it's interesting because I can speak to this, though I haven't done a lot of live television, just a smidgen of it here and there. I've done a whole lot of live radio, and there's no audience. Even the live television I did had some audience. You know, there's a half a dozen camera guys or producers and things around, you know, for live news segments or on PBS. Even when you're doing that, I've been on there for pledge drives where we're sitting in the audience, where the group, and then as they bring up presenters and things like that, and just had there's always an audience there for that TV thing, it seems like. But for the radio, unless and all so much radio is done at a distance. Everything is done at a distance now. That's why I started the conversation. I had to set this studio space up for my wife to be able to broadcast to her students. Everybody's broadcasting from home or from their own studio in space, and the producer and the network is somewhere else, way away somewhere else. And that's always been true of this, and it's been true of it for many, many years that I've been doing radio. It's been a long time. Let's see, what would it have been? I'm trying to think of a year. Give me a year. I'm not pulling up a year. 2003, maybe four, possibly right in that area, I guess. The last time that I actually sat across from I was the producer, so I sat across from the talent, but that wasn't. But not always. In fact, half of the shows, they had their own home studios. So it's just a thing. There's no audience. There's no feedback in the Seth Meyers and a number of these others. I have the HBO app here recently because all the changes and all the additions that they've added to, they've been able to get a bunch of stuff. I can't even believe how many things I keep coming across that I really enjoyed over the last 20 years or so, entertainment-wise, that HBO has managed to get their hands on. And on the HBO app, what was it? Well, what was I getting at? I just totally lost it. I got distracted. I'm actually sitting here looking over at the screen, trying to remember the HBO stuff, because I didn't have any plans to talk about that stuff and just end up being something I end up babbling about and probably don't have any particular point to. A little bit of a point just about this whole idea of being here alone without the audience. And I guess that was specifically what it was, is because Bill Maher is on HBO. And I remember back at the beginning of this COVID, seeing some piece of Bill Maher or something, maybe on YouTube or something, and it was terrible. It was horribly performed, and it's these guys that comedians, listening to comedians talk about it, trying to learn how to adapt to presenting something humorous, to giving a laugh out of an audience that isn't there. It's not the easiest thing to do, but it's something that, because I've been alone in the studio presenting my views and my weird sense of humor for a long time, a couple of decades and more, closing in on three decades now, that I've just been, there's been no audience, you know. I'm not even sure there was an audience on the other end of the radio at times, just simply because of the fact that I was in sort of small town America, and it was, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I just finished playing a 1 hour or 2 hour long LP that kicked off my night. That was the best thing about doing overnights, particularly at K-Rock there. It was the first thing I would do when I would walk in the night is throw on an hour or more long uninterrupted album. That was our thing every night. So that was great, because then I could come in And I had all of these shows that I produced. I produced Loveline, and depending on where we're talking about in time and when we're talking about these, I produced these various shows, and I would have to either capture them on satellite and produce put into the system one way or another their work from the previous night or hours before if we didn't air their live show. Otherwise, I have to run our end of the commercials live while they're doing their live presentation on their end. So again, I've done that in a number of places being producers. I've been able to do like Sean Hannity and stuff like that, some really big shows, and it's been fun in some of the bigger markets. But this is the best right here, just to come here and do my thing every week. And to have the support of a network is unbelievable to even be able to. I could just do this and just put stuff out like everybody does, the million podcasts that are out there now. You certainly could do that, but to have the support of a network like that, to be able to come here and do this and talk about the things that I talk about and have them not have really anything to say about my content or anything that I do. It's funny because Alex Jones was on Joe Rogan, the Joe Rogan podcast, Joe Rogan Experience podcast this week. And it's been a big thing because, of course, Rogan signed the deal with Spotify. And I keep coming across these stories about the internal workings of Spotify and these people trying to sabotage the podcast because and Alex hadn't even been on yet. Alex Jones hadn't even been on yet since they had done the deal. And so it was anything and everything that they could get to make an excuse. Like one of the things was that one of the podcasts, apparently he came on Rogan himself, not even one of his guests, not even one of those controversial speakers. It was he come on and he said something about the fires in California and Oregon, in over on the West Coast, they're being set on purpose. And there was some evidence that there was a couple of firebugs, at least. I know I've seen a couple of local news stories, in particular about one individual who was lighting fires that was caught. And then they released him, and then he was caught again the same day lighting fires again. That was an actual news story. So, but he was made to apologize for that as if it weren't true. Maybe I didn't see it, so maybe he didn't give a clear context like I just did, and the fact that it was just a news. I'm pretty sure I don't know. I ran into this week in putting together the show. Trying to decide on some links. If you go to towardanarchy.com, as always, you can follow along. And I have to talk about the whole thing. I want to talk about the show. I want to talk about the website here a little bit. And then, of course, we'll get into my guest, Matthew Wojtecki, and we'll give away a copy of Brushfire, and we'll chat with him. But I wanted to talk about the website because just yesterday I went, and this is about how important it is. Because I've told you a little bit about this. I only have the one show a week. I only have the couple hours. I only have the 1 hour where I just ramble myself. I try to bring in somebody else to cure that, to soften the blow of listening to me. I'm looking at these numbers. And, of course, over the past few weeks, I talked about the fact that Facebook had they've changed the social media. There'd been a big upheaval in it, and over the last few days a number of people have just disappeared off. They're gone, their accounts are gone. Jason Bassler, I had him on here just a few weeks back, the Free Thought Project, right? The freethoughtproject.com. I gotta always throw in the, it's there, the freethoughtproject.com. They got yanked again. And we were just talking about it. We were just talking about how they had yanked for millions, but the page is just gone. You just can't log into it. I haven't looked to go see if apparently some had been reappearing. I don't know if maybe they did an update and they broke some things or they're preparing. Some people have speculated that they've shut down certain pages and certain voices in running up to the election, and that there will suddenly reappear after the election. I don't know. I guess we'll see. That's coming up just a couple more days, so that whole thing will be over. And then of course there's the upheaval and the civil war that begins after that. But I don't know. A lot of people think that it is. What was the one in particular? I have to pull it up because I just had it on my social media, and I don't just share memes or things like that very often. I usually go specifically for words and ideas, not just a picture to let somebody try to guess at. But I'll do it every once in a while. And it was about the collapse, thinking about how in 6 days, so it must have been some number of days ago, the inescapable civil unrest that is expected, and friends, you know, people, comments everywhere that I've seen it, the place it was posted originally, you know, people are like, it's coming, we're here, I think we're on the verge of it. Everybody is really concerned about the fact that there's so much division right now, and that one little thing, and an election's not a little thing, but the butthurt feelings over losing or winning an election may actually turn out to be. I don't know. It's an interesting, scary, different time for America, and people who are a little bit older that have any kind of concept of the past. But to stick with the more important part of this particular conversation that brought me to this was just me talking about looking at numbers and jumping in and checking out some things and seeing where I'm at, and because I don't follow it a bunch, but it's there. And so I looked yesterday, and the website towardanarchy.com has had more than 25,000 unique. Well, okay, now that won't add. That's not true. Sorry, I knew I was going to say that too, and I had even set myself up for it. That's usually how that happens. Okay, 25,000 visitors in the last 2 months, the last 60 days, and so 16,000 unique visitors in the last 30 days, so the month of October, and then 9,000 the month before that. And we'll see how sustainable it is. I absolutely know that a large bit of that was the conversation that I had with Aria DeMezzo. That was a big thing. It's brought up the numbers across the board as far as even on the YouTube, the different, you know, there's a couple of different places that you can find the sort of archive. And then, of course, you listen to the show and live, or there's the YouTube presentation of it. And then I think I even did that one. I guess I didn't double up on it. I could have because I cleaned up the audio and I represented it for this broadcast, for the live broadcast. But it was already out there for the YouTube, and the audio just wasn't great. It was a new headset. I even mentioned that as I was talking to her. But that was a big show. But there were other big shows, the Jason Bassler show, all these, everything. It's been a growth. I've watched it. It's amazing, month after month after month. But just to go on and see that had happened, and to see that thousands of people have, not just a few thousand people like had been, and growing each month, and after being cut off at the knees, that was the point of the social media thing and the changes on Facebook, is that the audience there was cut by 2/3 instantly, like that. And I guess not even instantly. It was like a slow burn thing. And maybe this lends some credence to the idea of them tuning things down toward the election and closing off some avenues or some ideas and algorithming them out of the picture, as it were. Maybe, but 2/3 of them were gone, but they're coming back now. And so that's what I think maybe brings me to that. You know, maybe they really are tweaking it in such a way. I don't know. I didn't get clipped. Other people have talked about getting clipped. They've talked about their pages getting clipped. I've seen evidence of it. I've seen pages gone. Let's see. The Free Thought Project 4.0. We'll check real quick before we go into the commercial. It says it's there. Huh? Maybe they fixed it. Maybe there was something to that. We'll come back and we'll do some more right here on Toward Anarchy. Matthew Wojtecki coming up in just a few minutes.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
Okay, go to towardanarchy.com and click on today's date. If you have to go through the archive, you could do that. Just go click on November 1st. That's what you're looking for. I can see you. I think maybe we're going to try to go without the video. There should just be a button on your end that you can click and just shut off the video, and it'll keep the audio. We'll just do the audio thing. That, you know, we're here doing this live. Tech stuff. What are you going to do?
Gotcha.
Yeah, I just think that it's given us a hard time, and I think maybe if we just go with the audio, that it'll be a little better. So that's Matthew Wojtecki. If you're at towardanarchy.com, you go November 1st, you'll see he's my guest today. We're going to talk about his book, Brush Fire. He doesn't technically join us for a couple more minutes just because this is one of those short things, and it's the spot where I come in and I tell everybody to go to towardanarchy.com and find the stuff up there and find the links. You'll see that I have shared links where you can purchase Brush Fire, a thriller, and then I have a copy that we'll give away today as well. And we'll prod him for some writing tips and tricks, and we'll talk about the concepts, the greater ideas within his book there, some of the things about direct action and technology and cybersecurity and things like that. Some of the stuff that definitely is of interest to the people that are really dealing with these things today and thinking about these things today. So, and as always, I shared some links with you, and I started to mention this earlier in the show, just the idea that I had I had put links up there that completely different from this, and then I changed them, and it part of it was only self-serving. Only part of it was self-serving. I had a conversation earlier this week with Andrew, the libertarian. He's actually the treasurer of the Kentucky LP's 6th District. He hosts a long-form podcast thing. No commercials or anything like that he just shares with his thousands of followers and friends. And it's had a few hundred watches already. I don't know how many people were watching us live when it was on, but we just talked forever, a couple of hours. He just sort of grilled me, and I suppose I answered even some of the questions pretty well about just anarchy. And we'll do it again. We'll have another conversation. I think maybe I'll bring him on the show, let him hang out in this format a little bit, and maybe grill him on the LP and what they think they're doing with voting and stuff. A little tit for tat, helping each other out, sharing ideas. And that's what you have to do, because this is what I'm figuring out from looking at those numbers, those crazy numbers, that 25,000 people, 100 gigs of data in the last 2 months. While most of it's not sustainable and it'll be kind of sad to watch it fade away, hopefully I made a good presence for myself and for anarchy, a good presentation over that time period that it was happening. And there'll be some people that stay. But in looking at those numbers and watching where the links come and stuff, it's 99% from shares, likes, shares, follows, subscribers, whatever that little button there says, however, whatever app you're listening on, whatever program, website, wherever it's at, if it's the network, support the network so the network stays on the air, whatever it is, make sure that you're clicking that like, that share button, because that's where most of this comes from. The thousands of people that were hearing it before were because of you, and the thousands of people that just all of a sudden jumped on to check it out in the last couple of months. That's unbelievable. Just a mad, for me, kind of a little bit freaky, just kind of a little bit, wow, is that really happening? Is that going on? Yeah, it actually is, because I've been watching it from day one, being the webmaster and controlling 100% of the towardanarchy.com website, and watching it grow from nothing, from just being another site and literally me just throwing up some information on there, to it being really well organized right now and showing up in these in searches and conquering Google and all these things that we managed to pull off over the past year and a half. Well, we'll say we. I like to say we. I speak in that because it's not just me, and that we always includes the network and producer Ken and all these amazing guests that people tune in to be able to even listen to, because they surely they're not tuning in to hear me say my quotes. Realize the truth about how evil you could be. Seriously consider the evil that you could do in the world. Be honest about yourself and you'll understand how evil they are. Realize the truth about how evil you could be and you will understand how evil they are. I said that. That's We will come back, and Matthew Wojtecki will join the conversation. We'll talk about Brushfire, a thriller, his novel, when we get back on Toward Anarchy.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Please view, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Stop Terrorism. Please contact us if you or anyone you know who wants to be on our show at thetruthpharmacy@gmail.com. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized, and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
I hear something saying.
Where don't you know?
That's the sound of the men working on the chain. Gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain, gang. All day long they're saying,
okay, coming up a little bit later in the show, you might have to plug your ears because I will be, there may be spoilers. No, there will be spoilers. It's guaranteed. The Mandalorian was back on the 30th, and you know, being as much of a geek about anything as I could be in the Star Wars realm, this Western that's airing called The Mandalorian is really, really cool, and there was some amazing Star Wars geek stuff, original trilogy geek stuff that happened on The Mandalorian Friday, I guess it was Friday morning. I got up and watched it first thing. It was available first thing in the morning, so I jumped up and watched it right away. And it was as good as it could have been. And so later in the show, I'll make some spoilers. But if you go to towardanarchy.com, you see my guest today is Matthew Wojtecki. He's an author. He's an anarchist, a voluntarist. He's interested in a lot of the things that we talk about, like cryptocurrencies and understanding the economy in general, but all the things that go with the tech side of those things. These are all themes within his book, Brushfire. And so we'll chat about that. We'll give a copy of it away. It's just a real pleasure to have Matthew back on the show and to catch up with you again, my friend. How you doing?
Good, Mike. Yeah, sorry about the connection. It's pretty stormy here, so in Ohio. So, but just to talk about Brushfire, as well as maybe some other things, volunteerism related.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean,
can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah, no, there's a little bit of a tweak in there, but we'll just try, hard not to talk over each other, and hopefully that'll cure most of that. That's a problem with the technology that we're using. It's the Skype. Well, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, any of these things, anything that's on your mind, brother, I'm always just happy to have the chat and the conversation. I would like there was one sort of thing that I specifically wanted to ask you, and maybe we could start the conversation off this way, and then it just goes from there. And that was in the intent in writing the book. And I admit, I've only read just a little bit of it. I only just had the copies since you sent them over. And I'm really trying not to ruin the one I'm reading so that I can pass it on to somebody else. but I'm just thinking about your intent in creating the book. I mean, did you want to be a writer? Was there always some sort of dream there? Did you dream of creating the great American novel or something along those lines? Or did you set out really to kind of get the message out there and you were just able to do so within, sort of verse and word?
Yeah. So basically I think it, the idea just kind of came to me and for some of the things that are in the book. And so it actually did correspond a lot with my journey towards volunteerism in general. I think I was pretty far down the line when I started writing the book, and then just kind of the story really, I guess, kind of wrote itself, really. I think it wasn't like I had it pre-planned or anything. I think it just kind of came down on the pages for me. So that's kind of how I write. I don't really like keep any outlines or anything. It just I think it just kind of flows for me. And so I had that idea initially, and so I just kind of went with it. And coincidentally, I think, right around that time, I was listening to Liberty Under Attack Radio at the time, which is now like the Vanu podcast, and with Shane Redliff. So, right around that time, I think he also decided to, create like a publishing company. So that fit really well into what I was trying to accomplish too. So
then you were or weren't a writer before?
I actually do have a memoir out there. It's a military memoir. I did, spend some time in Iraq, which I think we talked a little bit about before, really just, and I think what I saw over there and some of the things that I experienced, like just made it all the easier to dig a little deeper into, you know, down this path to anarchism. So being just sort of that disgruntled veteran type of mentality, and then, you know, just seeing all the waste and the, you know, the lives lost and everything, that really got me, you know, down towards the, down this path at least. But yeah, like I had written a memoir, and it's basically just like a day to day type of journal, you know, while I was in Iraq, like what I was experiencing and stuff. So it's kind of more of like a nonfiction type of history type of thing.
And what was it about? What was it about the aspects of war is hell across the board? But what did you look internally and question yourself about what it was you were doing there, or did you see, or was it more like you saw the others sort of wandering around questioning what the hell they were doing there?
Yeah, maybe a lot of listeners on your show, like I really started as like the gung-ho patriot type that really never really questioned militarism or anything. That was sort of like off limits for me mentally, and until I went over there and I just saw like all that was happening, and I couldn't really mentally justify that, like the mental gymnastics that I had to do to sort of justify all the aggression that we were committing over there was it was very hard, and I struggled with that for many years, and I think maybe just
it was just getting good, right? you broke up for just a second there. Repeat just your last thought there, because you broke up.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
My last thought. So, in terms of what I still kind of struggle with it today, dealing with some of the things that we experienced in the military, and just kind of like shedding that like collectivist type of mentality where everyone has to be in line and follow the status quo and everything. That was kind of a big thing to just give up to, and that was just all towards my journey, I think, into anarchism, and so I guess with the book, I tried to capture that in, you know, because you really only have like 200 or 300 pages to like go down this. Tell somebody about the story and everything. So I think I tried to capture someone legit, like just maybe someone that's living a normal life and then somehow experiences that, that epiphany type of a thing, whether it be in this case, it's a book that the character finds, Henry. He finds it in a stack of old books and basically changes the way he thinks about the world. So,
and the way that happens, you kind of had it thrust upon you, and it can affect the way, it can affect the seriousness and how important it is to you in your understanding of it, and it can affect your understanding of it and what particular values you fight. Well, because you've used the word anarchist a few times, and that's a good word since the show is called Toward Anarchy. Mm-hmm. A lot of people misunderstand the word. They see it as being something more than it's not. They talk about it being chaos, and I really try to explain and try to get a point across, the point that it's only just about the no rulers thing. It really doesn't say anything else about anything at all. It has to be tempered with some other understanding. You in this case had some real world experience with authority and what it does to individuals. Mm-hmm. In a collective.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and I think that was just more motivation to just kind of look a little further. I would say that just maybe what really kind of set me over was just the discovery of several books that I had picked up and started reading. Like, I think Rothbard was kind of a big influence for me with the For New Liberty. That was a kind of a huge influence. And then, like, as well as like The Road to Serfdom, F.A. Hayek. And so I think in that way, like, me being more of like an economics type of guy, I think I came towards this philosophy toward, you know, it, from the economics perspective. I know like a lot of people come maybe from the history side of it, but yeah, I've always had a big background in like, you know, the economics side of it. And it was kind of pretty easy to understand that like if government gets out of the way, can, you know, all that creativity and we, you know, the individuals will just flourish. And we've seen that, you know, many times throughout history. And there's several examples of that. And so I think it's just really a testament to that, like, economics-wise, that's a good way to, I think, if anyone's kind of, you know, on the edge about that kind of thing, it's good to read a couple of those books, as well as, like, maybe the Mises type of thing. That's a good way to, you know, kind of start out, at least if you're maybe more on the minority side, you know.
But I think I would argue that the better you understand the law, the better you understand history, the better you understand economics, the freer you probably are, and you probably treat other people freer. The economics road can be a scary one for people, and you drop names like Mises and Rothbard and Hayek, and I, you know, I brush up against them. I know who they are. I know all of those trees that they've put together, and some of them are very thick tomes, and some people may not. You know, it may scare them away a little bit, and so I always like to, as soon as we start talking about that, to anybody that's really early in their adventure, and particularly if they lack an economic understanding, to get economics in one lesson, Henry Hazlitt. That is just, there's no, yeah. Have you read it? You've read it?
I have, yeah. I think that's a really good book too. You make a really good point about that. Like, that's, I've actually recommended that a couple times to people, as well as I think The Law, Bastiat.
See, man after my own heart. I reshare those two links over and over again. I'm supposed to put them as permanent links up there on the website. I haven't done that yet because I've been distracted by a few other things. But yeah, absolutely. Economics in One Lesson and Bastiat's The Law. Really, those are foundational in my own understanding and where I am today. They're completely core to it, in fact. Those are the introductions. And then I think that the people who want to understand more will go off in their different direction and maybe pick some of those other guys to start looking into and delving a little bit deeper.
Right. Yeah. And I think kind of the motivation for doing the fiction side of it was to maybe incorporate some of that in maybe more of like an easier to understand type of a story where characters, you know, it's kind of entertaining maybe. There's things happening to the characters in there, and it follows like a story where the main character goes down this path, you know, maybe similar to one that we would do in real life, but then you know, it's more like shows that like in a fictional environment it could be possible, you know. Like you mentioned, like the cryptocurrencies and everything that's in the Brushwire book. And then also, I think the way that I had approached it was when Henry finds out about that there are you know, some liberated people that exist in more like freedom cells, I think. Maybe smaller groups of people that have decided to liberate themselves from society and have established more of like a or decided to live outside of the collectivist type of society. And so I tried to capture that a little bit in the novel too. But yeah, like I think maybe like we were talking about the fact that it is kind of really difficult to pick up like Human Action or something and read it. It becomes really technical at some point, like may dissuade some people. And so I think like the fiction aspect of that, anarchist fiction, libertarian fiction, like is a good way to kind of see that, you know, we set up these like realms in like a fictional sort of environment and then sort of see that these types of philosophies can work. And so it sort of makes people more optimistic, I think.
I think it's a way to make things palatable for people who don't understand an idea, and they can see it work in the real world, even just a little bit. We got to go into a break. We're talking to Matthew Wojtecki, and his book is Brush Fire. We'll be right back on Toward Anarchy.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Extend your life.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispicos, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is Toward Anarchy on RBN with Michael Storm.
how disappointed. I mean, seriously, imagine how disappointed you would be if you were a young lad and you listened to that song over and over again throughout your youth, and then you grow up and a thing like YouTube shows up and a video appears on YouTube and it's that video and it's that song, and at the end of it they completely dismiss the entire notion of the song and all of the rebellion and everything that went into it at the time by saying you should get out and vote. It's sad. I guess voting's on the mind, but that brought me to it. Matthew Wojtecki is with me, and we're talking about Brushfire's book. And just before we went to the break, he was hinting at the idea that, I don't know where he'd get this crazy notion from, that entertainment could actually be a good way to present ideas to people. And I'm poking fun, of course, and because one reason I'm sitting here and I have the big screen always, all my listeners know, the big screen is always here and there's always something poignant going on in the background, from South Park to Kill a Mockingbird. I just throw something on out of my personal collection. And today I grabbed the mountaintop, the gold standard of exactly what we're talking about here, message inside art. And it's They Live with Rowdy Roddy Piper. So. I take it you're familiar.
Yeah, like I actually, well, it's funny because I actually just watched that movie a couple days ago again. I think it's been like the half a dozen times I've seen it. So.
Oh, yes.
It
was funny because I bought the most recent version of it that's out on DVD, on Blu-ray. It's like a $30 disc. You can't even get it in this. That's $30 in the secondary market. It's pretty expensive. I posted a picture of it on the social media, you know, and people were like, oh yeah, you gotta watch that, you're gonna love that. And I'm like, I'm almost 50 and I've been watching it since the day it was released. I've seen it dozens of times in my life.
Oh yeah, like I just usually just post like some of those ones where he puts on the glasses, you know, like I've just post kind of pictures of that, like the obey signs and everything, and like,
yeah, are you on Facebook at all? Are you on Facebook?
No, mostly now I'm on Twitter.
Right. I thought so, because I'd look for you a little bit on there, and I'd look for the Brushfire book and stuff, and I assumed that you just didn't go on there. That's what my social media presence is on Facebook. Well, at the moment I have the one that says F the Conformist. That's a picture of my, my avatar from South Park. But, the other one is him looking through his glasses when he sees looking over the edge of the glasses, when he first sees him at the newsstand and he's looking at the documents and the money and all that. And then the big background picture is the shot of the city with all of those signs that you were just talking about. The conform, watch TV, submit, obey, all that. Hey, we got to go into a break just real quick at the top of the hour, and then we'll come back and we'll do some more right here with Matthew Wojtecki, and we're talking about Brushfire, a thriller on Toward Anarchy. Try to say one word at a time, would you?
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.